Happy Friday, everybody. May 8th, 2025, 8-2020. You've made it through another week on lockdown. And people's patience are wearing thin. So a lot of news breaking today. We'll get into some of this stuff, but we'll also focus on news about your kitchen table. I call it kitchen table news, and not be so heavy on the political news, which I see largely as a distraction these days, so that you don't pay attention to your kitchen table news. But I have a perspective that makes me understand how Washington throws these shiny little objects in front of you, or like a laser, and you, not you per se, but people in the media try to get you to jump at different things like you're following a cat toy. People are wising up to it, though. We have serious issues going on. Before I get rolling, shout out to everybody out on patreon.com/truepundit. I talk to the camera sometimes because the folks on patreon.com/truepundit are watching me on a nightly basis, a morning basis, some kind of a basis, whenever they check in to the video podcast we're doing for those folks who support our efforts on patreon.com/truepundit. You see how I'm getting a lot better at the plugs. I'm getting coached by some people saying, dude, you got to keep the lights on. You got to pay the bills. You got to ask people, hey, support us. Don't be shy to ask. So I'm getting better as time goes on. I'm not one of these guys who's going to play an ad every 10 minutes. Like some things I listen to, it's out of control. But business is business, right? We got to get down to the... Without paying bills and stuff, I wouldn't be here. I almost wasn't here a number of times because of that. So be more cognizant of that in the future. But I went out for a drive a few hours ago just for the hell of it. And I said, let's go for a drive. So I got on Route 1 down in Delaware County, and I cruised around down there a little bit. And then I took Route 1 south. The government was, I'm sure they've been watching my phone, so they know exactly where I was. And I ended up just driving, and then I ended up in Maryland just driving, and I left about dusk. It's a nice night. I just felt like going for a drive. I was waiting to get pulled over, you know, that kind of thing. This is what it's come down to now. You have to be afraid to leave your house. And then I swung back on the way home through Delaware. And so I was in three states. It's a ghost town out there. And normally on a night where it's 58 degrees in the spring on a Thursday, are you kidding me? It would be jamming with people out there. But it's not. And it's sad. Stores are closed. Normally a lot of cantinas and restaurants would be open and packed, and sad to see that we're still listening to these fucking morons who have us trapped in our house with no proof about what they say. And people out there are actually sitting in their houses afraid of some cooked up bullshit that these guys keep selling and forcing down your throat. It's going to keep getting worse as far as the facts that come out about that. The numbers are just not there. I've been patient. I'm cool. I can be cool, right? They're just not there. The math doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. And we'll get into some stories today. And you know it yourself. Number one, before I get off on too much of a tangent. One, No one's talking about this in the media. Nobody on TV is talking about this. Everybody's got like a script. Fox is no fucking, that's like watching CBS News, right? Everybody's got a script. They're not talking about the real things. And I just started nicknaming these about, I'd say early March, calling it a kitchen table issue, because this is where we discuss a lot of stuff at our kitchen table. And I traced it back to Patreon. I'm going to pull it up here. I traced it back to Patreon. I just forget the date, so I'll pull it up while I'm on the fly with you folks, about the first time I told people on our Patreon to go out and buy some meat. It was a long time ago. And the dividends from that advice keep rolling in. I get emails every day. Thank you so much. You know, you really were talking about this a long time ago. I think it was February 23rd on here. It's saying something like that. I mean, that's, come on. It's March, April, May. It's May 7th. So 10 weeks ago, I told people there would be a meat shortage. And nobody in the media was talking about that in February and March and April. Now they just start talking about it. Last week of April, last 10 days of April. Why aren't they telling you about this stuff? Why aren't they telling us about things that matter and discussing it? Because they don't want to discuss it. Why do you think everything's fine out there and don't worry, everything's going to be fine? If you want to talk about numbers that do make sense and that appear to be more than true, okay, it's not the numbers from the Fauci, Burks, and Redfield and White House Coronavirus Task Force that are looking accurate, but more like the fact that, as a top executive from JP Morgan said today, that it will take 10 to 12 years to dig out from the unemployment hole or the unemployment grave that's been dug for us in the last several weeks. 10 to 12 years. There are people out there saying, oh, we're going to bounce back in the summer. Everything's going to be back to normal. No, it's not. Come on. They shut the country down, okay? Based on bullshit. I mean, this makes Bush's invasion of Iraq look like a training film with the weapons of mass destruction they never found. Bush just got left off the hook. That's why he was out of the closet last week, running his mouth, because he's like, whoa, I can come out in public now. That Saddam Hussein stuff, the bad intelligence we had, is nothing compared to what they just shut the country down on. It's just somebody got a bad fortune cookie, you know, and said shut the country down. So, oh, we better shut the country down. I mean, it's literally crazy. So before we start on the news, I just want to point that out, that, man, it's just bad information, left side, right side, straightforward, everywhere. And we're suffering. And nobody's talking about it again. Let me circle back. No one's talking about the real issues in the media. They're talking about ancillary things. They're talking about FISA, the FISA scandal, the FISA warrants, this, that. Who cares? Who cares? Unless they lock somebody the fuck up. Lock somebody up and then I'll give a shit. We even stopped writing about, I said, I don't want to see any more goddamn FISA stories. We've beat this horse. We've laid out all the evidence. It's the same stuff we did with Flynn. We laid out all the evidence for the last 3 years. And I said, we've done as much as we can. Number one, we were the first news organizations news organization, True Pundit was, to tell people there was a coup to unseat Flynn and then unseat Trump. March 7th, we wrote it. March 14th, not 2020, not 2019, not 2018, but 2017, we wrote it. Nobody cared in the media. Oh, these guys are, who are these guys to think that they could have scoops? These guys are new on the scene. They've only been around 6 months, 7 months. How can they say these things are going on? These guys are full of shit. They're trying to, like, you know, make a mark, trying to mislead people. No one even looked into it. A couple people looked into it, right? Three years ago, 26 months ago, this we wrote about this. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. And Flynn today? The DOJ dropped the charges against Flynn today, right? How fast would they drop the charges if people just paid attention and people in the right-wing media had shared our stuff, followed up on our stuff, credited us, given us more wings? No, they don't want you to know these things. These people are bought and sold. Now everybody's on the bandwagon, right? They all come out of the woodwork when they knew this was coming down. Why do you think I had Robin Gritz on the podcast, the Wednesday podcast? You don't think we knew something was coming down? Right? They're all out of the woodwork now. Byron York's out of the woodwork. He's got it all figured out. Asleep for 3 fucking years, this guy. In the beautiful crowd in the right-wing media. Yay, Byron, great tweets, great tweets, great observations. Asleep for 3 years. Rip Van Winkle over there. Him and everybody else, all these other dopes that are bought and paid for. Now, this is what really gets me. And then we're going to get into the news. What have I been on, like a 10-minute rant? Now, at the time the media is needed by the people to talk about real issues, kitchen table issues, they're talking about Flynn and FISA. Who fucking cares? I think it's great for the general, okay? I think it's going to play out very well for him. But guys, if you think this is some kind of a victory for you or for anybody, you're wrong. This is not a victory. They want you to think it's a victory. They're throwing you red meat and say, oh, this is great. Justice. It's not justice when someone gets set up. It's not justice when someone gets their life ruined for no reason. It's not justice when you lose an entire career and a position in the White House, an historic position in the White House, because people in the government want to railroad you. It's not justice when you have to sell your house. It's not justice when your kid gets threatened to get locked up. It's not justice when you can't open your mouth. There's a gag order on you for 3 years. Not justice when you have to pick up your life and move it. Not justice when you have to figure out if you're going to be going to jail and what that means to your family. It's not justice when you get bankrupt by the Department of Justice. You're getting the hint? How is this justice? How does this give you justice? Did Bill Barr indict anybody from the FBI yet? That would be a great start for justice. Has it happened? No. Is it going to happen? Doubtful. Maybe some Poindexter will get charged. Maybe I'm wrong. I've said it before. If I'm wrong, cool. I'd like to be wrong on it. Have I been wrong so far? No. No. But if you're out there thinking this is some kind of parade for you, and this proves that somebody did you a favor or things are working out, how's it working out for you? You're locked in your house. You got no job. You got no money. There's a food shortage. Utter chaos. We don't know when we can leave the house. We don't know what the world's going to look like. When I was out tonight, I was like, what post-apocalyptic place am I at right now? You drive by stores, shops, no lights. Like, you know how they have the outside light on, like a sign or something? Dark. Dark. How is that a victory for you? What happened to Flynn? It's not a victory for him. I'd say it's a very small victory, but his life is upside down. Don't kid yourself. When the FBI and the DOJ come after you, whether you get off, you get convicted, you plead out, whatever happens. Let's just say you do your time, you do your stretch, you do your probation. You don't turn your life around like the flick of a light switch. This man's life will never be the same. They took years off of this guy's life. The stress. Shouldering what all the other stress for your family members. You can't even begin to understand. This is not a victory. You still got fucked. He still got fucked. So when you're out there thinking this is some big day, it's not. Until these bastards go to jail for what they did, there's no justice. And even if they do, there's still no justice. This went on for years, and all of a sudden the DOJ just pulls the plug. How much money did you waste? How many lives did you ruin? Jesus Christ. How is this a victory for anybody? You shouldn't be online. I saw people on Twitter. They're, oh, yeah, this is a great day for America. Is it? Is it? Take that energy and turn it against Barr. Don't wave your pom-poms and think that he's some kind of hero. He's had plenty of time to indict these fucking liars and crooks from the FBI. He hasn't done it. Why? Is this supposed to be your victory? A guy who got railroaded, they dropped the charges after they ruined his life? What if he killed himself? What if he stepped off a building? He was so depressed. What happens then? You have to think about these things. There are real people behind these things. To them, it's a game. But when you're on the other side, it's no game. It's no game when you think about killing yourself because these guys have taken you to the abyss. And I know Flynn's been there, man. I know he has. I know talking to people in his family, I know what's going on. And they know I know. And these phony balonies on Twitter who, you know, pretend that they're friends with him, they don't know what the fuck's going on. They're posers, most of them, but it's no joke. So let's get into the news. But wake up, man. If you're out there, don't be distracted by stupid things happening in Washington. If somebody throws you a parade and all the floats are filled with bullshit, be smart enough to understand, hey, this parade's not for me. This is a bullshit parade. How is ruining a man good news to anybody in this country or a woman? Take no enjoyment or celebration in that at any level until the people who were responsible are brought to justice. And there's no indication, regardless of what idiots on the internet say and people who have 2 or 3 years experience in journalism think, these people are not going to jail. They're not. I would be floored if they go to jail. The big dogs, the McCabes, the Comeys, these guys, come on, give me a break. All right, 19 minutes rant, pretty good. Look, I'm keeping it real, man. Everybody else out there can bullshit you. I'm not going to do it. I got 35 years in this racket. I see things through a different prism. When I was in this for a couple years, I thought I knew a lot. I didn't know shit. And it takes 25 years to figure out you didn't know shit 25 years ago. You know where I'm coming from. We got a lot of young folks watching this show and listening to this show now. I'm hearing from some college friends that their kids, they turn their kids on to the podcast and their kids are digging it. These are millennials. So when you think, hey, millennials, these guys are jerks, you know? No. Many are getting woke, so to speak. They're not listening to the show because they're forced to, although I don't think it's a bad idea. They're listening to it because they want to learn the things that they didn't learn in school and will never be taught in school. This is from a different school. This is from the School of Hard Knocks, baby. This is a different school. I've been on the inside, I've been on the outside. You know my story, and if you don't, we will continue to uncover bits and pieces here and there, but there are some young folks listening. Kylie, you're out there in North Jersey. I went to college with your mom. She told me you're listening, and your brother too. And your other sister who doesn't like politics, you guys gotta ride the sister and says, yo, you gotta pay attention to what's happening here. So that's encouraging, and I'm getting a lot of great encouragement from people, and I appreciate it. But I'm not gonna bullshit you. I can't do it. I can't. There's everywhere I look, everybody's full of shit. Who's telling truth out here? I don't even know. We can't even tell with the stories we do, the stories we pick up. Whoa. First headline. It's a hell of a Friday show. I have to point these things out to you folks, right? Because I like telling people what's going on and how, you know, and the timing of this Flynn thing, too. You have to look at the timing, too, like, what, it took these guys this long to figure out that their case was shit? Like, what's up with the timing now? Think about these things. And I'll continue to point these things out as time goes on because I understand the game. I want you to understand it too. The more intel you get, the better. Real intel, not bullshit from the media. Like the meat stuff. We're going to talk about meat tonight. This is the meat podcast now. We talk about meat. We talk about Nancy Pelosi's chocolate. Yay. Who's got time for meat when I get my chocolate and my ice cream? I don't need any meat. And you have to be ahead of the curve. 10 weeks ahead of the curve to tell people on here, on the podcast and on Patreon, hey, you better get some meat. You better get some pork. Put some scratch together and get a freezer. And people are like, I can't put scratch together. It's too tight. I don't know. I don't even remember what podcast it was. I think it was podcast 15, maybe 14. I laid out how you can put $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 in your pocket right now without leaving the house at that time. The same time I was saying about the meat. So go back and listen to that. You can still take lessons from that and put money in your pocket. Now that we have a wider, bigger audience than we did back then, listen to that. I think it was called Financial Hacks or something. Money Hacks. I was 10 years at Citigroup. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't have to play an expert on the internet, okay, financial expert. I lived it. I learned it. And I wasn't an expert when I got there, believe me. I was a dummy. But I'm a sponge. I pick up things. 10 years at Citigroup. You got $1 billion coming across my desk. Billions of dollars coming across my desk. You learn things fast. You make a mistake. Guess what? You're going to jail. You're going to prison. And guys, we worked with ended up in prison because they thought they could cheat the system and cut corners. And I put them there. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to certain things. I'm not just some bird brain on the internet who last year was working in a grocery store and now he's an expert on stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with working in a grocery store. My mom worked in a grocery store most of her life. I worked in a grocery store coming up through college. My brother worked in a grocery store. I'm not slamming that, but I'm saying It's quite a leap from that service industry into intel and telling people what's going on in the White House, what's going on in the Department of Justice, what's going on in the NSA, CIA, Secret Service, DEA, as opposed to being in the service industry. So I'm not besmirching grocery stores. It's just an example of the Grand Canyon size divide between the two worlds. Headline. The American meat shortage is pushing prices to unprecedented heights. Here's how it could affect your grocery bill. Again, story's about 10 weeks late, but hey, why complain? Fresh meat prices escalated 8.1% in stores compared to the same period last year, according to Nielsen data for the week ending April 25th. Pork and beef prices could increase by as much as 20% compared to 2019, according to a new report from CoBank. That's a cooperative bank that's part of the Farm Credit System. 20% increase would be unprecedented price hike, according to Will Sawyer, CoBank. We've had quoted him before in our Meat Chronicles. If you're a vegan and you're listening to this, you're going to pull what's left of your hair out because you're probably not getting the protein anyhow, but that's another story. Because talk about meat, right, all the time. But come on, this is like meat makes the world go around, right? We're not all out there chewing on a lily pad. Pork prices have only experienced inflation of more than 10% twice in the last 20 years. Neither time did inflation grow to 20%. So we're getting up there. We're already there. It's already increased 20%. Pork and beef production has plunged by roughly 35% compared to this time last year, according to CoBank report. As a result, Sawyer says grocery stores running out of products and price inflation are nearly assured. I got an Irishman, okay? I got an Irishman out in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, out in Amish land. He's not an Amish Irishman. He's just an Irishman. And they own a farm with cattle, with beef, okay? He's got beef. He's got cattle and steer roaming the field out there now, right? They got a pretty good sized place. They're all accounted for. In other words, I'm calling them the walking dead. These guys, they're all walking, but he's got the dates on them. Well, those two. Yeah, those two are toast. And at the end of the month. And then in June, those three over there, they're gone. And then we got a light crew during July and August, but September, that whole batch over there, they're done. So they have to grow. And I said, what are you talking about? He's like, all the money's in on them. All the deposits are in. They're paid for. In other words, we already sold the meat. They're out grazing in the field, right, having a good time. Bing, bang, boom, grazing, eating, drinking. It's a big party. Meanwhile, back in the office, the credit cards are coming in. Ching, ching, ching. And these steer out there saying, this is great. It's a beautiful day. We're getting the food. We're getting everything we need. Grass-fed steer, right? Yeah, it's over. I'm sorry. You're not. Inside the office, the money's rolling in, and they're all accounted for. And it's never been like this, he said, right? And then on top of that, they got stores calling them. Hey, can you hook us up? What's going on? We need beef. Grocery stores and butcher shops. He's like saying, I can't sell you wholesale. How can I sell you wholesale when I got people paying retail for this stuff? I can't give you the stuff. They're saying, oh, the demand is huge. He's like, I know. The steer, the beef roaming around out in my grazing in my field. They're all they're walking dead for months. And we're getting to the point where the shortage is like a new thing, right? Look at how bad it's going to be for the rest of those cats milling around. So that's like a glimpse of what's happening. I read in the newspaper, a couple number of different newspapers, hey, if you can't get meat, go to a farm. Not a bad idea, but get your ass there now. Get your ass there now. Look it up. You know, grass-fed beef, and put in your zip code in Google and see what. Why do I keep getting texts from these maniacs? All night long, these people. They don't think I have like a job or a life. I mean, some of these guys are like, hey, like they work for the government. They work for the government. Hey, what's going on? You're supposed to tell me that. I don't tell you what's going on. You tell me what's going on. Don't text me unless you got something. I'm talking about meat, for Christ's sakes. You keep your hands and feet away from the microphone when I'm talking about meat. But, yeah, that's a good snapshot into the private, the smaller farms. So if you're going, if you think, hey, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm going to go to the small farms. Get there now. From a guy who told everybody 10 weeks ago to start knocking up their supermarkets and their butchers for as much meat as they get their hands on. Okay. Headline. J.P. Morgan's Bob Michelle. The U.S. won't stabilize for 10 years after the virus. We talked about this. J.P. Morgan Chief Investment Officer Bob Michelle predicted it will take 10 to 12 years after the pandemic for U.S. employment to get back to its pre-coronavirus level, insisting it won't be as simple as turning the economy back on. That's what I said. It's not a light switch. Quote, no, it's not that simple. It's going to take years or longer to get back to where we are or where we were, Michelle said on Bloomberg when asked if reopening would be as simple as turning on the lights. That's what this reporter from Bloomberg is actually stupid enough to ask that question. Because that's what they think. Even financial reporters, they don't have any money. How can you, I had this editor, okay, real quick. When I was at the Record in Hackensack, she was the business editor. She was really smart. She had a lot of money. And she came back like as a goof. It was like a goof, right? And she'd say, why don't you write for me? She wanted to take me out of news. She wanted me to cover business and like start taking people's heads off of business. And I guess I kind of did that. So I've always been drawn to business reporting because that's where the money is. I always wanted to go where the money was, big pharma, things like that. Big corporations, big insurance, big medicine, right? And she said, and I said, what about these other guys out here? And she said, they don't know what's going on. They don't have any money. And I said, I don't have any money either. She said, but you're young. You can learn the ropes. These guys are in their 30s and 40s. They're writing about business. They don't know anything about business. She was right. They didn't know a damn thing. And most editors and most reporters don't. This is my point. She knew a lot because she made money. And then she came back to journalism. She had racehorses and everything. She was cool as an editor. And I did some work for her, right? And you learn from these people. When somebody, an editor tells you, these people working for me are morons. So, you know, these are the lessons that you learn coming up. So Bob Michelle continues. Quote, when you look at the Congressional Budget Office's forecast for the end of 2021, they have unemployment at 9%. So sure, materially better than where we're going to peak in the high teens. But during the peak of the financial crisis, unemployment hit 10%, he said. So even looking out a year and a half from now, we're still going to be roughly where we were at the peak of the financial crisis. I agree with that. He continued, one of the things we did was to just predict a downdraft in the second quarter, somewhere around 10%. So it's, call it 38 to 40% annualized. And say that's the trough and then start this journey back up to the long-term trend rate. To catch up to the long-term trend rate that's been in place, call it 1.5% pre-crisis. To fill that output gap, we estimate it will take 10 to 12 years. Looking to 2030? 2032? Christ, I could be dead by then. At the Wow. Poor Bob Michel, he's talking to this bird brain from Bloomberg. He's probably like, the guy looks like he's gazoo, like he's from outer space. He probably doesn't even know what the guy's talking about. But that gives you, why isn't, I said earlier, people aren't talking about this. That's a serious story. That's a serious story. That should be on everybody's palette, news palette. Gives you intelligence. This guy's the top guy. Not a lot of humor tonight, huh? We had a lot of humor the last couple days, but sometimes you got to sober up. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't read the news here until I see it, so we'll see what's ahead of me. So if I repeat something earlier and then it comes up later, it's because I want to look at it fresh. I want everything to be raw. I say that, and I think it's important. Headline, ERs see drop in cases of strokes and heart attacks. Doctors are worried. Yeah, they should be. You know, we reported this like a month ago. So if it sounds familiar, and yes, it's been that long. It's been like a month. I remember. So apparently the numbers have gone down even more, which means even less people are now going to the hospital, probably because they got everybody freaked out. I'm looking at my hair on camera. It looks pretty good. I actually haven't got it cut, so it gives a facade on camera that I actually have a lot of hair. And I'm starting to feel, you know, like I did when I was 20. It's just a camera trick. Don't worry about it. Across the country, ER volumes are down 40 to 50%, says Dr. William Jacquet, president of the American College of Emergency Physicians. It's very scary because it was so quiet. Another doctor, David Tashman, medical director of the ER at USC Verdugo Hills Hospital in Glendale, talking about the early days of the outbreak. We normally see 100 patients a day, and then, you know, overnight we were down to 30 or 40. What? Wow. One study collected data from 9 hospitals across the country, focusing on a crucial procedure used to reopen a blocked cardiac artery after a heart attack. The hospitals performed 38% fewer of those procedures in March compared with previous months. At Harborview Medical Center in Seattle, Dr. Malvika Sharma, say that 5 times. Malvika Sharma. I like that name. Sharma. Has tracked a 60% decline in stroke admissions in the first half of April compared with the previous year. Nationally, 911 call volumes for strokes and heart attacks declined in March through early April, according to data collected by ESO, software company used by emergency medical service agencies. Wow. Especially in New York, because they told you, they said, if you code out in the street from a heart attack, just to leave you there, don't worry about those people. Come back and get them. And you have an automatic DNR order, a standing DNR order in New York City. They won't resuscitate you because they've been so busy standing around, parking their ambulances and pretending that they were doing something that they can't save you if you have more. If you're having chest pains, try to get across the river to New Jersey any way you can. Head over to Hackensack or head over to Jersey City if you're in Lower Manhattan, or if you're up by the George Washington Bridge, head over to Hackensack or one of the other hospitals in North Jersey. get a paddle boat, get a fan boat, get across the Hudson River however you can, because they'll actually treat you. De Blasio's over there. He's wearing the Grim Reaper, and he's got the staff and the Grim Reaper. When you show up at the hospital, he shows up, does a blessing on you. Oh, you have a heart problem? Let them die. We're busy over here. We're trying to get more people on ventilators so we can make $39,000 a quote-unquote victim if we don't kill them first. Small price to pay. We get paid either way, so pretty good deal for us. Not so great for the guy who just died. But anyway, Facebook Supreme Court packed with anti-Trump progressive figures. Oh, okay. Basically, the Supreme Court of Facebook, I guess like the Sanhedrin, is packed with anti-Trump progressive figures. Facebook has released a list of the first 20 members of its oversight board. A semi-independent body the social network is setting up that will have the power to decide whether content banned by Facebook stays banned or is restored on appeal. Jeez, I wonder what our chances are, true pundit. Yeah, I'm sure this is a real impartial group. This is going to make Star Chamber look like a scout picnic. Members include the former editor-in-chief of The Guardian. Oh, Jesus Christ, this paper. Are you serious? The Guardian, which is comprised of Bill Gates' money and MI6 weirdos. And human rights expert who is part of the George Soros Open Society Project. You know, some of the people you love from Fox News, who you tweet a lot and stuff, big reporters, and, oh, these guys are great. They worked for George Soros, too. You won't see it on the resume, though. They left that part out. But yeah, you fish around, you'll figure it out. I don't need to name names. I like this game. We know everything about everybody. Remember that. That's my business information. We got jackets on all these weirdos. They step out of line, they're going to get the cartoon bank safe on the back of their heads. Because we're ready to roll with anybody. The 20 members announced by Facebook today include progressive, left-wing, and mainstream media figures who have been highly critical of President Trump. One addition is Alan Rusbridger, formerly editor-in-chief of The Guardian, the UK's leading left-wing newspaper. Guys, if you run out of toilet paper, The Guardian is a close second. The oversight board also includes Nicholas Suzor, who once said he loved an article comparing President Trump to Adolf Hitler. Other members of the oversight, how are you supposed to get a fair shake from Nicholas Suzor? Anybody who knows enough about Adolf Hitler to compare other people to them scares the hell out of me. Right? I know like five things about Hitler. One, he was a maniac. Right? Two, he did a lot of cocaine and amphetamines. That's the second thing I know. Three, he had a bad mustache. Four, he killed a lot of innocent people because he was a psychopath and very charismatic. And five, he was hitched up with some broad named Eva Braun. That's all I, you know, you have to know your Eva Braun. Just for jokes or for tell somebody who's pushy and easy Eva Braun. So, and he may or may not have gone to Brazil or wherever. Now, who knows where he went, but, you know, there's people that read about all these historians read about Hitler and they know all these facts about Hitler. It's like, yo, there are a lot of other figures in history, pal. Lay off the Hitler. Why are you so obsessed with Hitler? Other members of the oversight board include Hal Thorning Schmidt. There's somebody who never worked for a living with a name like that, right? Former Prime Minister of Denmark for the left-wing Social Democrat Party. We're going to get a fair shake from Hal Thorning Schmidt. Yeah. Here's another one. Afia, Asantewaya, Asari Kaye, a human rights expert and and frequent violator of every letter in the alphabet here. I mean, it's just like, what's going on with these names? Try to play a sport in America with that name on the back of your shirt. They're a poor kid. if I was coaching back when I was coaching hockey in high school and other places, I'd say, yo, Alphabet Soup, get over here. The kid would be like, what is he talking about, this guy? Human rights experts who is part of George Soros' Open Society Network. Another woman called Pamela Carlan, who worked in the Civil Rights Division of President Obama's Justice Department. Yay! We'll probably be kicked off Facebook tomorrow morning, it sounds like. And Evelyn Aswad. Aswad. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I go back to grade school. No wonder you grew up mad when your last name's Aswad. Well, so much for there not being humor. This story is really paying off. It'd just be fun in school to say across the room, like, hey, Aswad, what's your problem? The nuns couldn't do anything to you because that's the person's name. You could actually call your friends Aswad and pretend that you were talking to her. Oh, man, where was she when I was at in Delaware County in Catholic school? We could have used an asswad, and we had a couple of them, believe me, but nobody with that name. She served as the director of human rights in Hillary Clinton State Department. Well, Hillary Clinton State Department, now we know. If you have a name like asswad, you end up with one of the Clintons, I guess. Either working for one or hanging out with the other one. I mean, you can't make this up. Somebody who worked for Hillary's name, asswad. I'm sure if you meet them at a cocktail circuit, they're introduced as Evelyn Aswad. The D is silent. Her name is not asswad, you cretin. It's asswad. The D is pronounced like an H. There appear to be no major Trump-supporting figures in Facebook's list of oversight board members. The closest thing it has to a conservative figure is John Samples, vice president of the largely anti-Trump, cock-funded Cato Institute. Samples appears to be... I think it's pronounced Koch, K-O-C-H. Gone downhill. The same story as asswad and cock in it. I mean, this is the good thing this is an explicit show. The Koch, or I guess it's also pronounced Coke. I don't know how to pronounce these hoity-toity names.
It's not cock. It's Koch or Coke. Can't you understand that? It's spelled C. It's spelled, I'm sorry, K-O-C-H. Anybody knows that is not cock, even though it's spelled like it and sounds like it. The true pronunciation is Coke. Coke with a hard K at the end.
Okay, yeah, that makes total sense. Looks like Koch. But I guess when you have enough money, you can just say Coke. Samples appears to be a never-Trumper. He appeared on a podcast discussing the president's assault on American institutions and has accused the president of appearing to oppose basic ideals underpinning liberal democracy. Some really good one-liners are zipping in here, but I'm going to keep it under wraps. You can figure it out. Yeah, that's a hell of a lineup there they have over at Facebook. Sounds like a real good thing. That's pretty good. What, the people from the Nuremberg trials weren't available? They should be called a kangaroo court, I think, is what they should call it, instead of whatever stupid name they came up with over at Facebook. New headline. Now, where are we at? 50 minutes. It's that opening where I went off the deep end, some people would say. Isn't it great on, you're watching on patreon.com/truepundit to see a man come unraveled right out of the gates? It's worth it. This is way better than the Tiger King. I'm going to get a stuffed tiger in here to help with the ratings. I could get the and I would wear a shirt with no sleeves and, you know, dye my hair like totally blonde, get the mullet going, get some ratings. Stuffed tiger in here or something. Right next to me, I could talk to it. Hey, what's going on? New headline. I don't know how many stories we got left, but we'll just keep rolling. House Dems drafting new multi-trillion dollar coronavirus relief bill. Jesus, right? Come on with the coronavirus bills. We're looking at a multi-trillion dollar bill, one House Democratic aide told Fox News. I have to take a drink here before I lose my shit. I'm just printing money. Your money, my money. That's a topic for another day. While the text of the legislation may not be available until next week, or maybe not at all since Pelosi's running it, we have to pass the bill to figure out what's in it. Oh, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. It's clear the centerpiece of the House response will be funding for state and local governments. We talked about this yesterday, and I almost lost my mind. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi telegraphed that just the aid alone is hard hit. Aid alone to hard hit states and local governments could reach nearly $1 trillion. We already fund these people with our taxes. What about our property taxes, sales tax and everything? What the hell? I don't get it. Now we have to use our federal tax dollars to underwrite these fucking losers on a local level. We already fund it. What about local taxes, property taxes? What the hell is going on here? Now, this is a heist. This is a heist. The whole fucking thing is a heist. They're getting as much as they can before this pandemic was magically over, because we can't take more than $10 trillion from Americans. That would be really rude, and they might catch on to it. So we need to wrap up these things and give Americans a little bit of time to get out there, just a couple weeks to get out there and get their toes wet in the summer. And then by the time the fall rolls around in the winter, we can scare the shit out of them again with another virus flu scare and maybe tap them for another $3-4 trillion. Or if Trump loses, we might be able to get another $10 trillion out of these idiots. Oh, wait a minute. I think it's all right, though. I got to cue this up again. We played it yesterday, right? Where's it at?
Very dark chocolate. You like dessert? Well, I like chocolate. I'm not indiscriminate. I don't consider anything that isn't chocolate dessert. Now, it could be like a nice fruit thing, and you consider it fruit, but not dessert.
Oh, I'm so with you.
Yes. Sometimes I like it as an hors d'oeuvre, chocolate hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's all under control. This is what we're dealing with. She's eating chocolate dessert hors d'oeuvres, right? And we're out here. We're going to be stuck with the shit sandwich. This comes as some GOP leaders are looking to pump the brakes on spending. Yeah, right. Give me a break. They're not pumping the brakes on anything. They're pumping something all right down here, but not the brakes, with prior relief bills already prompting the U.S. Treasury to borrow a record $3 trillion. Not this year, this quarter, $3 trillion. $1,000 this quarter. You couldn't even count that high. $3 trillion. Pallets of $3 trillion and $100 bills would cover a massive field. It would scare you. It's like the 3 trillion. When you say 3 trillion, the number's not even real. It's so much money. It's not even. I don't even know what comes after a trillion. Do you? I don't really. What? They should just name it the trillion should be decillion, D, C, DC illion, decillion. Because the only people spending more money than a trillion is going to be people in DC. So called decillion. $5 decillion. This is, guys, if you thought there was a shortage on pork, not in D.C. They're about to purchase $3 trillion more dollars of pork. Here we go. This is what I'm talking about. I didn't even read it, and I understand where this is going. The Metropolitan Museum of Art of New York City started an online petition last month asking for $4 billion in relief for America's cultural institutions and nonprofit museums. The Met has an endowment of $3.6 billion already, and they want another four. What? Didn't they have King Tut's exhibit there? Get rid of some of King Tut's fucking trinkets. Take it down to a pawn shop. Do something with it, right? You're not getting any money from us. They want another $3 billion, $4 billion for what? You can't go out in New York. Nobody's on the streets. What do you need the money for? You don't need the money. The Metropolitan Museum of Art doesn't need the money when it's going to be used as a homeless shelter probably in 2 weeks, three, or a year, just when the city goes bankrupt. They got $3.6 billion in an endowment. Do you see them helping the homeless out there? They're the real fucking statues, right? Hey, you got $3.6 billion. Can you help us? Can you help somebody? I'm doing a pose on the camera as a statue. Got a lot of money. Can you help somebody? Yeah. Hey, is that guy a statue? I think he's one of those live statues. Come here, everybody. Gather around. I asked him for help, and he froze. He just froze. Oh, it's a live statue. Is it? It's like a happening. The effort has a champion and powerful Representative Gerald Nadler, who is determined to fight for funding for New York City cultural institutions that have been reeling from prolonged closures. Really? Are they reeling? I don't think they're reeling. The buildings are paid for. They don't pay any taxes. They don't have to pay any employees. How are you reeling? Right? You know what it's like at this place right now? It's like night at the fucking museum. You go in there, everybody's milling around. All the statues, the dinosaurs, everybody's having a good time, all the artwork. They're not really, okay? $3.6 billion in the bank. No one's reeling with that much money in the bank. The only thing reeling is Nadler's intestines in his belt, right? When the belt buckle pops and blind somebody. Jackie Childs is going to come in. He's going to be reeling. This Nadler guy, he's the guy who wrote the Department of Justice letters saying True Pundit and myself should be investigated because we obviously are bribing FBI agents because our information is too good to be reported. So we must be somehow part of an operation with the FBI and bad facets of the DOJ, right? Nadler. Nadler had too many sheet cakes, and he panicked, started putting out letters, right? How's that investigation going, by the way, Nadler? How'd that work out for you, buddy? This guy walking around with his belt up to his neck. You want to see him on Tinder with that look. I always thought he kind of looked like the guy from Popeye who wanted the Wimpy. Was his guy Wimpy? He's always looking for the hamburger, and he had like his belt up near his nipples. Nadler always reminded me of Wimpy. Nadler's art proposal includes, are you ready for this? This is crazy, right? This is insane. Nadler's art proposal includes $10.5 billion in relief grants, expanded Small Business Administration loan opportunities, boosting the charitable tax deduction to incentivize giving and granting nonprofits a payroll tax holiday. They already have a 40%. Charities already have, and nonprofits largely have 30 to 40% head start. They don't have to pay taxes. We're underwriting that. They make money. They don't pay taxes, the same taxes that we'd have to pay. Okay? They already got a 30, 40% head start that we're underwriting already. What are we supposed to do? Give them another 30 or 40%? What's going on? We're the fucking charity, not them. We're the charity. Our tax money is the charity, not these hobos. Let me see what is going on, because it's not marked here, but I want to see what he's giving money to. You know what he's going to do? This fat bastard is going to try to bail out Broadway. That's what he's going to do. This fucking wimpy hamburger prick is going to try to bail out Broadway. And all these weirdos who couldn't perform, right? I mean, I like Broadway too, right? But it already costs like $200 to go to a show. A ticket. Not like for everybody. All right? So what did all these theaters do with all that money for years? You packed the house at $200 a head. You can't get it. You can't get a seat in the nosebleeds for under $70. Okay? Plus, you go to try to... Intermission. Oh, okay. You know what? I think I'll go have a cocktail at intermission. $18 for a drink. They come back here with a flamethrower. $18 for a watered-down Jack Daniels. You want to see a pissed-off guy on stage? Give me three Jack Daniels at intermission, right? I'm down $50. I'm going to snap. $60. Hey, who's that guy on the stage with the plastic cup? He's not in the act. And they want a bailout. That's what he's going to do. I smell it. $25 million. They already gave $25 million to the Kennedy Center. So, you know, Nadler's Mr. New York. He's in a New York state of mind. That's what he's looking for that money for. That makes a lot of sense in my head. Democrats are eyeing more direct payments. Where are we at? 1 hour. Or wrap his sucker up. Democrats are eyeing more direct payments to Americans or expanded unemployment benefits as a way to help small businesses. Yeah, right. Kiss my fucking ass. You're full of shit. You already had a chance to help small businesses. You kicked them in the teeth and gave the money to big businesses, shut small businesses out of loans. People didn't get the loans. Give me a break. 40% of small businesses will be closing basically in the next couple months, even the ones that got the money. How did you help small businesses, right? That's like beating the living shit out of somebody and then taking them to the hospital. Thanks for helping me the fuck out. Next time, don't help me out. We were doing fine out here without Nadler, okay? And his lasso belt, whatever the fuck he's wearing, okay, this guy. And chocolate woman.
I told Jerry to get a real belt when I'm eating my chocolates.
It's like Pelosi is under pressure from her liberal left wing to go bold on this next round of funding to help undocumented immigrants in minority communities who are hardest hit by the virus, oftentimes because they are essential workers. Yeah. Yep. Undocumented immigrants in minority communities. Yeah. Don't worry about us out here. The documented people who are paying the way above. Don't worry about us. Give everybody else the money. Give the museum the money. Yeah. Why doesn't the museum hire some of these people in minority communities that are so hit hard by everything, right? What are all these places that have these? Why doesn't Harvard, with $45 billion endowment, spend some of it and hire people in the Boston area that could use help? You notice that? Why are we paying for this all the time? How long do you think this is going to last? This is communism. This is socialism. You understand that? This is what they're doing. Now, we got to pay for everybody. But nobody's paying us. That's socialism. These aren't bailouts. This is a rollout of socialism. I can't take any. There's another story. California County to remove COVID-19 patients from homes based on living situation will place another kind of housing. We'll get back to that. That's good. They're just yanking you out of your fucking house now. Well, you know, if you don't pay the bill. Let's do it. We're at an hour and 7 minutes. Who gives a shit? Let's do it. It's Friday. Get fucking crazy. Why not? Maybe it'll be a little bit better than the last story, right? Officials in Ventura County, California, will be expanding coronavirus testing, tracking the infected and those who've been in contact with and moving people out of their homes and into specialized housing for COVID-19 patients. For you dopes out there that want to get the tracking app to see if anybody around you, I'm doing air quotes. If you should be watching this on patreon.com/truepundit, because I'm coming fucking unglued on a regular basis now. And I get a little bit animated. I want to get the tracking app that will notify me if anybody around me has the virus, quote unquote. Are you fucking stupid or just a coward? Why don't you just sign up for a fucking ankle bracelet so people can track where you're at and what you're doing? Are you this stupid and this scared? What happened to the country of people with balls? Don't get any app. The government tells you to get an app. Are you stupid? This is worse than the FBI app that they were pushing. The FBI physical fitness app. Yeah. You want to be in shape like the rest of the FBI guys? You want to find out what it takes to be an FBI guy other than lying through your fucking teeth and railroading innocent people? Download the app. Get in shape. Yeah, we get access to your phone, your calls, your texts, your images, your videos. Don't worry about it. It's all about fitness, Charlie fucking Atlas. Don't worry about it. Get the app. People are like, I'm going to get the app. I want to get in shape. Are you stupid? Are you that dense? What has happened to this country? I'm going to get the tracing app. I want to make sure no one around me is infected. Don't get any apps. Start leaving the phone at home. Fuck these people. Anything the government or Big Pharma rolls out, they're not trying to help you. They're trying to screw you. And you're helping them do it. Wake up. Discussing the need to hire contact tracers and manage active cases, Ventura County Public Health Director Robert Levin said during a press conference, people who live in homes where they could expose family members to COVID-19 would be moved into other kinds of housing. They're going to start yanking you out of your house. Yeah, keep downloading the apps. They'll come for you in the middle of the fucking night and drag you out like a bag of sand. Dumb fucks. Listen to this. This is insane. What is going on in this country? People worried about Bill Barr? They're going to yank you out of your house. You don't think this will grow and go into other counties? These bureaucrats are all the same. They're all insane.
We got a good program. It's really working in California. Oh, well, what is it? Beach erosion or what's going on? Save the turtles? No, we yank people out of their house in the middle of the fucking night.
Oh, bravo! Yes! You must send me the details. Is there a PowerPoint? Oh, send it pronto! What is going on here? Listen to this guy. This guy's insane. We also realize that I have to read it like a Poindexter because this guy seems like a real geek. This guy should have been, I talked about, this guy should have been kept in the locker he got stuffed in. We also realize that as we find more contacts, some of the people we find are going to have trouble being isolated. Is he talking about people or cattle? This is why they have cowboys. Oh, there's a couple steer over there. They're getting a little rambunctious. Get the fucking lasso out. Get them in line. Let's go. Get these contact tracers out there. Get these cowboys out there. Give them a cowboy hat and give them a lasso. There's a couple people out there that are hard to isolate. Corral their ass. Hog tie them. Yeah, I know that guy's big, but hog tie him anyhow. Get two ropes. And get that cop from New York. Get him over here. He's good with the taser. We'll teach this son of a bitch. I don't even know what to say. And I was going to skip this story. I might lose my mind. I'm going to go out after this in my underwear and no mask and walk around the streets and protest. That'll be a good video. Come on, this is getting crazier. What country is this now? This is what we all worked for. Is this what we worked for? This is it? It's like a joke. You work your whole life. This is it? This is what it's come to? Fuck that. Fuck that. Not on my time. For instance, if they live in a home where there is only one bathroom and there are three or four people living there, and those people don't have COVID infection, we're not going to be able to keep that person in that home. The toilet police are here now. This fucking guy, the tidy bowl man's here. Hey, they got one bathroom. Guys, this isn't disparaging, okay, to immigrants, to illegal aliens. We have a tremendous community of illegal aliens where I live, nearby where I live in Pennsylvania. The fuck is this guy talking about in California? They got 10, 15 people in a house with one bathroom. You think they're going to go into a home of people that are here illegally and start rounding them up? No, they're only going to target people who are not illegal who have one bathroom. This is insane. Now you can get arrested.
Every person who we're isolating, for instance, needs to have their own bathroom. And so we'll be moving people like this into other kinds of housing that we have available.
What the fuck? What?
I don't even know what's going on here.
This guy, Levin, has either lost his mind or he let the cat out of the bag. And he'll probably be excoriated by his bosses, but they'll say, you weren't supposed to talk about that until we started rounding up these whiteys. Operation Whitey Roundup, you gave it away, Levin. What the hell's the matter with you? You put an extra vowel in your name because you'll be leaving tomorrow. The hell happened?
11, he gave up Operation Whitey Roundup.
What? We've been working on that for a decade.
Yep, he told him, if you didn't have a padded, if you have a padded toilet seat, you're out. Everybody with a padded toilet seat? If you have plastic covering your furniture, we're coming for your ass. We don't need any of those weirdos around. We don't need any bingo weirdos around here. Any church-going folks? My God. My God. I don't even... This is where we're headed. I'm losing my mind. If you're not mad at this, I don't know what... I try to put a humorous spin on it, but this is getting scary. Right? This is getting scary. This is... This makes George Orwell look like a Stepford Wife. What the hell? I don't even know. I'm wrapping up there. I don't even know how to tell you to have a good weekend. I don't know what to say. Guys, you're watching on True Pundit, patreon.com/TruePundit. I might. And I just collapse here, and my head goes down at the desk, right? Somebody call 911. Somebody call 911. I might just stroke out right here before it's all over. He died doing what he loved. Reading about assholes and making fun of them. Shortest eulogy ever. Yeah, he was good at that. We give him that. He was good. He was one of the best. We've known since grade school. He was great. Oh, man. Well, there we go. I just banged my head on the mic. That's a good start. It's almost 1 a.m, so time for me to hit some tequila. And I haven't been drinking much, but after this one, I might have to just... settle down. I do get revved up. I don't know if you like me. Sometimes I get a little revved up reading this stuff, and this is particularly crazy. So we'll see you again on Monday. And I really haven't been enjoying doing this, so I'm gonna miss it for the next couple days, but hopefully I get recharged my batteries and work on a few things we got coming for True Pundit in the next week. And it's been a very busy place, and working on the main podcast and also trying to stabilize the podcast, find a new home for housing, and cut some deals with that too. So I've been very busy, and also spending time with the people in my house, my family, who I care about. And when in doubt, that gives me great perspective, and I hope that you are blessed enough to have that as well and don't lose sight of the really important things in life. Although it is hard to stay focused these days. So try to stay focused and try to have a good weekend. And we'll see you Monday on Pain in the Morning. And we'll start all over again and do this again. So thank you. God bless you. And we appreciate the support, especially the folks online. Thank you. Take care. Have a good weekend.